I want to read tonight and talk to you a little bit about Psalm 19. And I'm going to call this kind of an unusual title. You might think, I don't think it'll be unusual when I get through with it, but I'm going to call this, it's almost like what I preached this morning, really. I guess I would get some on my mind, and every text teaches the same thing. But I want to call this the incredible importance of being constantly in the Word of God. That's, you might think, how am I going to get that out of Psalm 19? The incredible importance of being constantly in the Word of God. And it's a very familiar psalm. And here's the way I want to look at this. The Bible is the Word of God. But you know, when you read a book, you don't know something about the author before you read the book. That's what they taught me in school. When I go into college, I didn't think about authors much. I just think about books. But we always heard that you think about authors. When you get familiar with a certain author, what he writes is probably going to be pretty good if he's a good author. So you check authors out first. So when we checked out authors, then we'd say, well, whatever he wrote, I want to read that. So tonight, I think what he's doing here, this psalm here, I used to wonder why it was constructed like it was. Because the first part doesn't talk about the Word of God. The last part does talk about the Word of God. And what he's doing right here, he's getting us familiar with the author of the Word of God. If we can have confidence in the author, we can have confidence in what he wrote. So let's look at that psalm. I'm going to read the first part of it first. You know it very well. And I want to say this. You know, I'm like Dan. Dan said we don't appreciate grace enough, and Dan, you're right. We don't appreciate grace enough. We hurt it so much. We don't realize how vile we are, how great grace is. I hope we can appreciate grace more. If we ever have a real revival, we'll all appreciate grace more. I want to appreciate grace more. I'm a vile sinner. I don't even know how bad I am most of the time, but I hope I can realize more that I can mourn for my sins. I might be able to rejoice in the salvation of Jesus Christ. There's another thing we don't appreciate either. There are Bible believers, and especially the homeschoolers and the Christian schoolers, we don't appreciate the doctrine of creation like we should. See, we believe in creation. That's just kind of, you say, well, ho-hum, we believe in creation, so what? But a lot of people don't believe in creation. Most people believe in evolution in our country. So what we need to do is have a fresh appreciation for creation. What God's going to show here, first of all, is the author of this book is the one who made this world. If he made this world, we can get awed by him. We can have confidence in what he wrote. That's what the whole point of this thing is. Look at the first few verses here. It looks like a disjointed psalm if you can put it together that way. The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament shows his handiwork. And the heavens do declare the glory of God. And I can start and talk about a lot of things. You homeschoolers and you Christian schoolers probably know more than I do. I love our textbooks. I just said to Melissa, I had a lot of fun with these kids in science. I'm talking about stuff like this. And one of these days, I'd like to get just thousands and thousands of facts and memorize all of them. Be able to preach in one sermon to all everybody. Not to show off, just to get everybody about ready to shout. Sister Victoria had been reading a book that I had one time called The Rare Earth, and she got a lot out of it. But the heavens did declare the glory of God, the firmament showed his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language, for their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, their word to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit unto the ends of it, there's nothing hid, the heat thereof. And I'm going to say the same thing Dan said. He said, this is more than just beautiful poetry. This is beautiful poetry, just like Psalm 85, verse 10 is, but this is a lot more than beautiful poetry. This is facts. Now, I want to concentrate on one thing about the creation, first of all. I want to talk about our author, first of all. And I've done this before, but I want to make a few more points about this. One of my favorite verses is over in Isaiah chapter 45. I'm going to read you two verses there. And I read something this week that... Well, I wish I had cut this out. I'm always wishing I cut stuff out. I'm going to start just cutting out instead of wishing I cut it out. I was down at the Fulmer's house this week. We had a 4th of July meeting there. And I was reading one of the Atlanta papers. They had a man talking about how we ought to be worried about these asteroids and meteorites are going to hit the Earth. And I tell you, it's really dangerous. You ought to start getting scared. You know about every 100 million years that we get a real hit? That frightens me. About every 100 million years, we get a real hit. That's what happened to dinosaurs. This big thing hit, and it just made all the dust go up and cover the sun, and so everything just died. And I mean, that's 100 million years ago, and we better worry about a big hit. And this, what this guy said also was this. This is what amazed me. Something not too long ago hit Jupiter. It was just awful when it hit Jupiter. They had a whole string of asteroids. It's almost like a bunch of beads, and they just wham, 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 they hit Jupiter. And so that ought to scare us. You know, Sister Victoria knows what I'm going to say. You know what? I got a book called The Rare Earth, written by two unbelievers, but they're good scientists. And they say the Earth is a rare place indeed. It's the only place in the universe where human life could exist. And that's what we ought to expect. And the Lord had designed it. You know how we always talk about things like this. If the sun were just a little bit closer to the Earth, we'd burn up. If the sun were a little bit further away, we'd freeze to death. If the moon were a little bit closer, the gravitational pull would pull the seas out of their beds and the flood the entire earth. The earth has got to be tilted just exactly right on the axis. We can even live on this earth. We got just the right combination of oxygen and other gases. We can breathe, and our lungs will take that, extract the oxygen, expel carbon dioxide, and the whole thing is an absolutely marvelous thing indeed. Isn't that amazing? But you know, Jupiter is designed to take those hits. See, this guy that worried about this, the guy that wrote this in the Atlanta Journal, this cotton-picking liberal, stinking liberal, I'll say, but anyway, he's a liberal. And he was going, you know, that just thrilled me, because I just got to reading this book not long ago. Jupiter is made to be a shield to shield us from asteroids. So the Lord is the author of this book. We can take confidence off. He's the God of creation. And Isaiah says this. Look at Isaiah in chapter 45. I'll read you two verses here. And the Lord puts a big premium on creation. I hope tonight, if I don't do anything else, I won't do more than this. I hope I can at least do this also. I want you to appreciate creation more. God wants you and me to think about creation more. Let's make a pledge. Lord, I'm going to start thinking about your creative activity more. What's the first thing God wants to know about him? What is it in the Bible? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first thing God wants to know about him. The author of this book is the creator. So if we look around and see the creation, we should be awed by the wisdom and power of God that are manifested in creation, both his wisdom and his power. Incredible power. When Stephen Latimer was here, he's a little genius, really, what Stephen Latimer is. Y'all talk, he's the smartest little fellow I saw just about. He got a degree in meteorology from Texas A&M. Now he's going to Texas Tech getting a master's degree, and he's so smart, just blows my mind out of the water. And so I got him to send me a few things on emails, and my friend, the power in storms, was just, you can't comprehend the power of storms. People talk about nuclear bombs, we're going to destroy ourselves. Those things are just like little firecrackers compared to the power in hurricanes and tornadoes and things like that. Sometime I'll get some statistics and bring them to you. I got my file, so he sent me some. It's just absolutely amazing. There's incredible power in nature. Just a lightning strike is incredible, the power of lightning strike. It's just unbelievable. No man had ever duplicated, with all the nuclear bombs that have been made, all the hydrogen bombs, nobody had ever even begun to duplicate or even approximate the mighty power that God manifests on a continual basis in nature. That's the God that we serve. And this God made this earth, and so God wants us to know about his creative activity. So we ought to study it more. I'm going to try to start being so lackadaisical about that and appreciate God's creative activity. In fact, in the Revelation, as you know, we sing 4:11 all the time about that great song of glory when those angels over there are praising God for his creative activity. They have one song of praise. They're praising him for his redemptive activity. They have another song of praise. They're praising him for his activity of providence. But the one we're always singing is the angels are praising God for his creative activity. So if they're praising him for creative activity, you and I ought to praise him for his creative activity. Look what he said in Revelation 4:11. You know how it goes. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. Those angelic beings are ecstatic about God's work of creation. I remember Brother Hassel Wallace one time. We had a film down at camp, believe it or not. Somebody brought a film down there. I think it's a Moody Bible Institute film. And it showed what creation might have been like. Some of y'all remember that? And I know that it had this big starry sky stuff and all that, and the stars you got flung out into space and all that kind of thing. And Brother Wallace just sit there, and I mean, he was just awed. And he just kept talking out loud. And he said, boy, God really getting with it, isn't he? Stuff like that. You know how Brother Wallace talked. But my friend, the angels, the Bible says in the book of Job, the angels shouted for joy when God threw the stars out into space. See, God made the angels first, evidently, before he made the universe. And so can you imagine a bunch of angels in a grandstand? Now, can you imagine if you and I had been in that grandstand? And here we are, and we have this nothing at all. And all of a sudden, there's something created. And then he began to put it together. And he flings the stars out into space. And he puts the planets in their place. And then he does all this other stuff that he does. And then he makes planet Earth. And he just spends special attention on planet Earth. So my brothers and sisters, planet Earth is where his son was going to come to. Planet Earth where his son came. He didn't come anywhere else. Jesus Christ came to planet Earth. Isn't that amazing? My friend, he created man on planet Earth. On planet Earth, he took Adam. He took some of the dust of planet Earth. He formed a man out of it and formed a woman out of that. That's where mankind came from. On those days of creation, he created the vegetation. He created the cloud cover. He created everything, the atmosphere. It's wonderful what he did on those days of creation. And he saw what he had done was good and very good. And he made this a perfect place for that highest, the epitome of his creation. And you and I ought to thank God for that. Listen, we ought not to think too highly of ourselves, but brothers, we also ought not to think too lowly of ourselves. See, that's what happened in this postmodern generation we live in. When there's meaninglessness, and there's nothing but chaos, and people don't even think, they think we're nothing but an animal, like these animal rights people. That's not by accident. You ought to study postmodernism sometime, the philosophy that begins to permeate, my friend, the world we live in. When we're no better than an animal. No kidding. Isn't that amazing? But that's not the truth, my dear friends. You and I, we're sinners, all right, like Brother Dan said. But my brother and sister, we have been made in the image of God, and we ought to act like we've been made in the image of God. When people think they're animals, they act like animals. We got people today living worse lives than animals live. Brethren, animals are not perverts. That's all the perverts we got in our country. That's the truth. You don't see animals go around practicing perversion. Like our Supreme Court says, it's okay to go ahead and practice perversion now. When we begin to think of ourselves like animals, we will behave like animals. But my dear friends, when we can realize that we are the creation of God Almighty and the highest of His creation, we ought to live like that. Not out of pride, out of thanksgiving to God Almighty. He put us upright on two legs, brethren. He gave us our neck we can look up to heaven and eyes and see the heaven and worship the one who has created us. Let's say, I am made the image of God and I want to act like that. And you know, it's even better when you're a child of God, because not only then are you a creation of God, you're even part of the redeemed creation of God. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Now, you know, there's a lot in this. One reason that we're in the shape we're in right now, because of this very thing I'm talking about, people don't believe in creation. And if you don't believe in creation, there's only one alternative. That's so-called evolution. They get rid of God. And then if you're an animal, like I say, what to say an animal, I'll be moral. What is morality in an animal? They act by instinct. But my friend, we have a human race today that's acting on instinct. What they want to do, what they feel like doing, they have no self-control whatsoever. We have self-control as human beings made in the image of God Almighty. Let's say, Lord, thank you for letting me be a human being. I'm glad I'm not a roach or something like that, aren't you? I'm glad I'm not one of those brown recluse spiders, Sister Jones back here. I'm glad I'm a human being. Aren't you? Let's act like a human being. Brethren, let me tell you what we ought to do today. Tonight, you do what David did in Psalm 139:14. Say, Lord, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul doth right well. Say that to yourself. Say, thank you for my brain, God, that was better than any computer ever made. Isn't it what we can reason? You know, you've got to put into the computer what you get out of it. They can't reason. They can't do abstract reasoning. Not really. They talk about this artificial intelligence, but it's not true intelligence like we have that God's given us. We have these wonderful minds, right, brethren? Use those minds to glorify God with. Look at the eyes that God gave better than any camera ever made. Use those to read the Word of God with. And the hands that God gave. I'm a marvel about my hands, and you all marvel about your hands. What a thing a hand is. They're so flexible, you can do so many things with them. Never been a tool devised like a hand. I tell you, God's good to us, isn't He? You talk about the chemical factory we've got. I can eat all kind of stuff, and it digests and get the nutrients out of that and expel the waste and all that kind of thing, brethren. It's amazing what God's done for our bodies, isn't it? I will praise Thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous Thy works, that my soul knows right well. Brethren, and God's interested in your body. He's so interested in your body, He died for it. That's the truth. The Son of God, my friend, this body of ours that some people denigrate. Listen, you kids, don't ever get a tattoo. And don't ever get your body pierced. It's not right to get your body pierced and have a bunch of tattoos. The God, all God, gave you that body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You treat it like it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You don't put a bunch of drugs in the temple of the Holy Ghost, a bunch of alcohol in the temple of the Holy Ghost, and a bunch of tobacco in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Brethren, you take care of the temple of the Holy Ghost and you have to glorify God with. It's what God gave us to serve Him with. Don't be like old Robert Murray McChaney. He was a good man, a great preacher, but he died young because he overdid it. And he said this. He said, God gave me a good horse. He meant his body. He said, God gave me a good horse and a message to deliver. Now, I've killed the horse. I can't deliver the message. Don't go around killing the horse. Take care of yourself, my dear friends. I'm not saying don't work hard, but take care of yourself. I appreciate Sister Helen, who's always taking care of herself. I thank God, Sister Helen, for your energy that God's given you. He's been good to you, but you've also done the right things. I applaud you for that. We ought to take care of ourselves. Use our bodies, our strength, our energy to serve our great God with. My friend, let me read Isaiah now. This is why I like this. Let me read you two verses. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 12. I have made the earth and created man upon it. Isn't that great? I made the earth. I created man on the earth, not anywhere else. I put him on the earth. And then down to verse 18. Now, I love this verse. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it, He created it, not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord, there's none else. Isn't that wonderful? He said, I made the earth to be inhabited. It's the only place in the universe. These people, like I tell you, these guys that wrote this book, The Rare Earth, they tried and tried and tried to find some place in the universe that would sustain life. Because that's what all the scientists are doing, just about, because they don't like God. And I tell you, I didn't realize there was this big a conspiracy in the scientific community when I read this book. But these men want to find some places in the space that where the life came from to Earth, because they actually realize more all the time it's mathematically impossible for evolution to have happened. They already know that. The honest ones do. So they're hoping there can be even more billions and billions of eons out there somewhere for something to develop, finally came to Earth. They're trying to find the time to put in the framework of evolution. So when the Mars probe went out, I didn't know this till I read that book. The scientific community had bated breath. They knew they got to Mars, they'd find conditions where life had existed. And my friend, a great pall of pessimism and despair went over the scientific community when the probe came back and that's not what they found up there. You know, when they went to the moon, they thought in the moon there'd be dust real thick. My friend didn't have any dust at all on the moon. Because it wasn't as old as they thought it was. As old as God said it was. So anyway, people did kind of fine. A place where life exists. My friend, the Word of God says He formed the earth to be inhabited. That's where Christ came to. Listen, that's where redemption occurred on this earth we live on. My friend, this is where the old tree of the cross was on this earth we live on. This is where the price was paid, my dear friend, to God Almighty on this earth. This is where the Son of God, my friend, arose from this earth that we live on to ascend to the Father. My brethren, this is the earth that He's coming back to one of these days. This is the earth He's going to get our bodies out of this earth and take up the glory. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know how to explain all this, but I believe it. My brothers and sisters, some of these days, you and I will be living in the new heavens and the new earth where dwells righteousness. We're going to be living in a redeemed universe. Redeemed. It's going to be more fun than you can imagine. We're not going to be like Caspar the Ghost floating around some cloud somewhere. My brothers, we ourselves with these resurrected bodies shall be in a resurrected universe and enjoying it. It's going to be a place of incredible beauty. I tell you, sister, heaven's amazing. You read Romans 8. If I got all Romans 8, I wouldn't get through my subject. I tell you, Romans 8 is amazing. The whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And they desire, my friend, to enjoy the liberty of the Son of God. And that's what's going to happen some of these days. You read it. You see, when God cursed us, He didn't only curse us, He cursed the earth. This earth was cursed. Adam was cursed. Eve was cursed. The serpent was cursed. And the earth was cursed. My brethren, this curse shall be removed from this earth. And if you think you see something pretty now, I'll enjoy scenery. I enjoy stuff that you wouldn't even enjoy. Gee, I drive her nuts. She's always trying to read when we're riding. And every time I see a piece of grass out there, I say, look how pretty that is. And she just kind of looks at me, well, that's what you've been doing for 30 years. So she politely says, yes, that's pretty, Zach. But sometimes I do find a few wildflowers for her that they sold on the highways, and I just go out of my mind. Brethren, I'm telling you what, this earth is pretty, but you wait till we see it again one of these days. You wait someday till you and I, in our redeemed body, my best friend, that has the capacity to enjoy the environment we're in. You're talking about music, Sister Melissa. I believe there'll be octaves we've never even thought about. Can you imagine octave after octave after octave, my friend, that we can't even hear now? And eyes, Brother Kevin, to see that we know we can see so very clearly and tremendous minds that they can enjoy God with. Wouldn't it be fun, Brother Dan, to take some of those doctrines you talked about and really, really, really get into those doctrines? The tremendous brain that God Almighty will give us to enjoy God with some of these days. It's going to be wonderful. You see, if we knew that, if we can understand that, we wouldn't even want to stay here another day hardly. We got something to look forward to, Walter. If we can understand that, we will not mind giving up our loved ones. Like Reuben had to give up Catherine. He said he can't cry for her, didn't he, Brother Bobby? He said, I can't cry for her since she's in a better place. And Brother Kevin, that's the truth. I tell you, friend, one of these days, when we leave this old world, we're going to leave the limitations behind that sin has brought about those limitations in our lives. If we knew how badly we've been limited, we could understand what Dan was saying. We'd appreciate salvation more and hate sin more. Adam was a paragon, my friend, and Eve was a paragon. You talk about a beautiful woman and a handsome man. You talk about a brilliant man and a brilliant woman. My friend, and then you know what? But that's not anything what we're going to be. Because they were made liable to fall. We're not even going to be liable to fall. That's going to be wonderful, folks. But this great Creator God made the earth to be inhabited. So what do you think about it? You think we can trust our offer? I think we can. My brother, I tell you what, you show me a man like that, I will read the book he wrote. That's what Psalm 19 is all about. We've been introduced to the offer. Let's look at the book now a little bit, just for a minute. And may our appetite be whetted. Yes, my friend, this one who's left his mark in creation, his wisdom and his power. Then he says, he puts such a premium on his word. Oh, what a premium God puts on his word. Let's read this. I won't comment on all these. I even preached a series on this one time. I don't remember everything I said about it. It's impossible to keep it on the front burner. But look, the Bible, he's going to call the Bible by several names. He's going to say the Bible is so very, very valuable. It's so very valuable. We can get a concept of this. We'll be constantly in the Word of God. But the devil will try to keep us out of the Word of God with our sinful nature he'll use it against us. I'm talking to Abraham this week, and I say, hey, Abe, even me, being a preacher, don't like to read the Bible sometimes. You know why? Why I don't like to read the Bible, sister? Because I've got to face myself. Isn't that right? I read a funny paper. Frank and Arnie's don't really convict me very much. And my brother at the sports page, who cares what? Who won what, really, when you get right down to it? But I like it, Kevin, sometimes. You know why? I don't have to, and I'm not saying it's wrong to have a little escape of them every now and then. Bruce, you can have a little escape of them. I can't have too much. But you know what? The problem is the devil wants you not to live a life of escapism. But God says, I want you to face me and face yourself in my word. I want you to see where you've fallen. You may get back on your feet and get close to me again. So here's what you've got to do. Just get in the Bible. And every time you do get in it, if you stay in it long enough, you'll be glad you got in it. You better not like it for 15 or 20 minutes. And like that time I told you, I walked down at Galloway Park in the wintertime. And I was cold as I could be. And I had my heavy coat on. And I had it zipped up. And I walked about 15 or 20 minutes. If I'd quit then, I wouldn't have anything to tell you about. But I kept on walking. After about 30 minutes, my friend unzipped my coat. After about 15 more minutes, I took it off. I tied it around me with the sleeves. In the wintertime. About 15 more minutes, guess what I did? I rolled my sleeves up, took my hat off. And I was still kind of warm. That's the way it is serving God. Our problem is we quit too quick. We put in 5 or 10 minutes, read the Bible. I didn't get much out of it. I guess I'm not born again. I'm cold. You stay in it long enough, my friend, and you say that God will warm you up. Then you won't read more of it. We've got to realize that's the way we're going to be strong in the Lord. My friends, eat constantly in the precious word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This great author that wrote this book, what he said about it. He's so wonderful. I'll just read it. He won't comment very much. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Our soul needs to continuously converted. This testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Are you feeling like you're simple? I said, I'm a simpleton. I need wisdom, my dear friend. I find wisdom from the Word of God. I can't out with the devil. I can't outthink him. I've got to use God's weapon. I've got to think God's thoughts after him. That's the only way I can defeat the devil. Not trying to figure him out with my mind. He says, statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Do your heart need to be rejoicing? Say the word of God on us. He'll give you a gem like he gave Brother Dan tonight. See, Brother Dan enjoyed Psalm 85, verse 10. And my friend, God will give you those golden nuggets that will revive your soul from time to time and make you feel close to God again. And it'll just touch the trigger in your heart and you'll say, hallelujah, I'm glad that I'm a child of God. That's what he'll do. He'll rejoice your heart with the word of God. The commandments of the Lord are pure, enlightening the eyes. Our eyes get so dark sometimes, we can't even think straight. Listen, friends, let me talk to you about that just a minute. Let me tell you a verse that moves me as I've been rememorizing 1 John, and it moves me every time I read this, because it scares me. Hear what he says. This is in 1 John chapter 2. He that says he's the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There's no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blinded his eyes. Do you see how necessary it is we forgive each other and love each other? If I hate my brother, I'm going to walk in darkness. I think I know people doing that. I might have done some. I've probably done some of that. I know I've had a little bit, but not much. I don't think. I don't hate too many people. Brother, I tell you what, we've got to try to work hard about loving folks, haven't we? And loving each other. Not getting jealousy in our hearts and envy and things like that. Think about that again. He that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So the word of God, my friend, will remind me of that again. How does it remind me? I come down to the Lord's Prayer and he says, forgive us our debts and we forgive our debtors. I say, Lord, I got to do some forgiving here. I got to kind of get right with you again, Lord. I got something in my heart against somebody. Isn't it good to do that? Look in the mirror of the Bible. That's why we need to read it all the time. Even things we know we need to be reminded of them all the time. Well, you know these little children's songs we sing, brother, they're more than little children's songs. And you're right about that, too. You know about this, this is more than poetry. My friend, just read your Bible, pray every day, and get that Bible reading habit. My friend, there's some profound truth taught in those songs. Get that Bible reading habit, and daily keep right at it till the Lord Jesus comes from you, friend. That's what we need to be doing. It need to be in God's Word. Then he says, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And you can preach sermons on those, but I'm not going to. But look at verse 10. Do we believe this? Sure, you believe it. I know you believe it, really, but we don't want to believe it even more. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Is that right? Sure, it's right. We may not always experience that, but that's the truth. Brethren, the Bible, listen, you're better off if you can have a understanding knowledge of the Bible which nobody but a born-again child of God can. If you've got that tonight, I'm telling you, you're just rich tonight. That's all there is to it. You're rich. My friend, we have a whole world full of people who are wealthy. financially wealthy, but they're absolutely miserable. They have no insight at all. They have no real hope. And they may even be happy in a worldly way, but brother, they're heading for hell. They don't know how to think about anything right, really. You think about that. But if we can enjoy the Word of God, and we can understand the Word of God, and believe the Word of God, it's only because that the Lord God has caused us to be born again and given us a capacity to understand His Word. Oh, my friend, what a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. I remember Brother Lawrence, Brother Terry McAvella's granddaddy, great preacher, scriptorian, had a photographic memory, amazing memory, really. And he loved to quote scriptures. And one time he came to us before he died in our school here. And we had our kids that year had learned the Ephesian letter. I'll never forget this. So I said, kids, I want you to, Brother Lawrence, I got something to show you. I knew he loved the Word of God. And I want you remember that? I said, I want you to listen to these kids and they recite the Ephesian letter. And they did. I think we had almost all of it memorized. My friend, that old man began to just bawl. I'm telling you, the tears fell down his cheeks. And he told them, he said, kids, I'm going to tell you something about the Word of God now. He said, I've got a few in-church policies. I got a little money in the bank. I got a few things stored up. He said, not too long ago, I had open heart surgery. And I'm telling you, when I went back on that operating table before they put me out, he said, my CDs and my bank account and my insurance policy meant absolutely nothing to me. He said, what meant everything was the Word of God Almighty. I had treasured up in my heart, and God brought to my mind at that moment. He said, what meant everything to me? That's what it's going to be for all of us. Friends, you got something, if you know the Word of God, that money can't buy all the world. It's more to be desired than gold. Yeah, much fine gold. And sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. All right. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. I'll stop there for a minute. You know, I've been real burdened lately by some of our young people who've gone off the wrong way. You know what happened to them? They didn't listen. And we better all be listening, hadn't we? He said, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Listen, young people. You know, I'm always warning you. But it's not just young people. We all need warning. We've got to walk God's way. We can't be rebellious. We can't rebel against our parents. We can't do things behind our back. We're going to pay a price for that. We must realize, my friends, that God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let me ask you a question tonight. What's your secret life like? I got a sermon that's boiling. You know, kind of like you women cook stuff, and you kind of put a little stuff in there, and you kind of stir it and everything, and you get it ready. Well, I got something coming. I ain't got it cooked yet, but I'm cooking on it. And I tell you, it's in the sight of God. In the sight of God. God put it on my heart. He wouldn't let me sleep. He put it on my heart. In the sight of God. In the sight of God, brethren. Like you, dear sisters, who have a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Hang what the world thinks. In the sight of God. David said in Psalm 51, against thee only have I sinned, done this evil in thy sight. He tells us, my friend, when we're praying, you enter into your closet, and your Father, which sitteth in secret, sitteth in secret in God's sight. Let me ask you a question. What's your secret life like tonight? Think about it a little bit. Brethren, by them is our servant warned. How many a man who has gotten in there, in that computer, my friend? I talked to a sister not long ago, just broke my heart. Not one here, not around here, thank God. I talked to a sister who is brokenhearted because she caught, my friend, some pornography on her husband's computer. And when she confronted him, he won't even repent. He won't even repent. And this broke my heart. She said, now, I hate it on the days when it's raining. She said, because when it's sunshiny, he's out playing golf. But on the days it's raining, he's locked himself in his office, and I know what he's doing, and it's tearing her heart out, brethren. Don't let me guilt yourself like that. When you're in that room by yourself, my friend, Kevin won't even hardly be on the internet, he told me. I'm glad that. I don't get on it much either. I got a blocker on mine. And my friend, you've got to be careful. Let's listen. The most dangerous thing in the world today is put a man with a computer at nighttime by himself. Brother, the old devil really is working hard in a situation like that. But there's consequences to pay. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. God said, if a man looked at the woman left after her, he's already committed adultery with her in his heart, my friend. It dangers your soul when you think it does. I read something about a doctor not long ago that scared me. This doctor said that when a man sees an image of one of those pornographic images, the searing effect on his brain is almost like brain damage is so strong. He puts those images on his mind, he can't get out of his mind. You don't need to fill your mind junk like that. I appreciate something that somebody down at camp said. I think it might have been Rachel Green. But she said, I think it's her, whoever, it don't make any difference really. But whoever said it was wonderful. They said a lot of people who have not been destroyed by sin have been greatly diminished by sin. Isn't that sad? See, you may not have been destroyed. Say, well, I've gotten by with it. No, you haven't got by at all. You just think you have. You're not a shadow of what you ought to be and what you could be. See, not only, my friend, will sin destroy you, if it doesn't completely destroy you, it will diminish you. And what listen, we need to have fellowship with God. I've been studying the life of Saul lately also. And Saul, brother, when he, at the first of his ministry, had fellowship with God, hit a mighty man. A mighty man. When some of those Philistines came down and began to pick on Israel, he got really stirred up and he slew a bunch of them. But that same man, my friend, when he got out of fellowship with God, he turned to a craven coward. He wouldn't even go out and fight Goliath. Little David had to do it. The Bible says he was filled with fear. He was greatly afraid, sitting there a king, head and shoulders above everybody else. Scared. You know, it's the same thing happened to you and me also. Brethren, you can't have brave spiritual attitude and a great brave spirit and boldness when we don't have fellowship with our great God. The Bible says that the righteous are bold in the lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And I tell you, the age we live in, we need to be bold, don't we? Don't we? We live in a hostile world. But we can be bold in a hostile world only if we walk in fellowship with God. Moreover, by them is our servant warned. And then you know he says this? And in keeping with them, there's great reward. I will talk about that in a minute. Is that really true? Is there really great reward in keeping the Scriptures? Yes, there is. You know what? This morning I read to you Psalm 73. And I'll just make reference to it again. Because see, what happened right there was Asaph got in despair because it looked like that he was having a hard time trying to live right, but the wicked were really prospering. So he just about gave it all up. And let me just read you what he said. I'm going to read you a couple of expressions he said. Because this is what you think sometimes, because we are all human beings. And this is what the devil told Eve in the garden anyway. Hey, Eve, it don't make a better difference if you serve the Lord or not. Don't worry about it. He kind of holds something back for you. Why be obedient? He knows the day you eat this fruit, your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as God, knowing good and evil. God kind of holds something back from you. There's no reward. And a lot of people think that. See, the problem is you go by your senses instead of by the Word of God. You may see some individual that is done wrong, and it seems like they're having a big time, and they're not paying the consequences. But my brother and sister, the story hadn't been told yet. You don't know the whole story anyway. What you're doing going by what you see to what the Word of God says. You must not go by what you see. What if 100 people did something wrong, got by with it, supposedly? That means you ought to do it? Not at all. Don't do it. You be obedient to God's holy word. Because if you don't, that's tempting God. And let's just say God had been merciful, and He did deliver somebody that didn't deserve to be delivered. Well, praise God He did that. But He may not do it in your case. If you think, well, He'll do it in my case. Somebody did wrong. They were blessed. I'm going to also do wrong. What you're doing is you're saying, let us sin that grace may abound. And Paul said about that kind of thing, God forbid. But look at the 73rd Psalm. Here's what Asaph thought. It's amazing, really. And look at verse 13. Here's how he felt. And we feel that way sometimes. See, I'm trying to live right. I'm having lots of trouble. The wicked are living wrong. They're having a lot of fun, evidently. So look what has happened here. I've done this all in vain. In verse 13, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. It's been all in vain. Why did I cleanse my hands? Why didn't I go ahead and have a little sinful fun like everybody else is doing? Young people, the devil will tell you that especially. Go ahead and have a little sinful fun. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's having a big time. No big consequences. That's the devil's lie. Young men, let me read you something real quick. Let me read you something real quickly here. It's almost like sarcasm, but I don't think the Bible is sarcastic. I don't know what you'd call this type of... Some of you English teachers can help me. Judy can help me on this. I don't know what you call this kind of language. But, well, let me see if I can find it. Well, I don't have the one I want, but here's one. This was the one about young men here, but this is one that goes along with that. It'll be close to it. So I can get a concordance of that letter and find it. But he talked to young men this way in a special way. But he says, I'll just read the last two verses. I wish I could find the one I want, but I can't find it right now. But he talked to young men. He tells young men, you go ahead and have a big time if you answer for it one of these days. That's what he says. But I will say this. The last verse of Ecclesiastes 12. This is not the one I want. It'll work right now. He said, For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. There's one scripture in there somewhere in Ecclesiastes. He tells young men, you go ahead, rejoice in your strength, do whatever you want to do, It's kind of like almost like sarcasm, but I'll tell you, he's saying, but you're going to pay for it. You're going to have to. And I think that's the truth. We're not going to be able to get by. Well, I won't even try to find it. I'll take too long. But we might find that church if you want to see it. My friend, God not mocked. Just like at camp, you know, that's what the whole thing about spiritual warfare and hating sin. And we just got to, maybe God give us some more that we need to get a good dose of that. But what I'm saying is that I'm coming on the verse. In keeping of them, there's great reward. There's great reward in keeping the Word of God. But you know what you got to do? Walk by faith, not by sight. Walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, thank you. Good. I wanted it real badly. Thank you, Thaddeus. Let's look at that. Ecclesiastes 11. That'll have a lot more punch because that's really what I wanted. Let's read that. 11:9. Thank you. Ecclesiastes 11:9. That's it. Thank the Lord. Okay. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. In other words, just do what you want to do. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Isn't that amazing? You go ahead. He just said, go ahead. He's not really saying go ahead. You know what he said. I don't know what you call that. But he said, you go ahead. Go ahead. Just enjoy yourself. But I tell you, buddy, you're going to pay for it. That's what he's saying. That's the truth. But there's another scripture in Ecclesiastes that says this. Let me quote this for you. I can get the essence of it anyway. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I want to tell you something. I'm embarrassed when I say this, but I'm going to say it. I remember the first time I said a real bad cuss word. And, buddy, I thought lightning was going to strike me. I'm scared. I couldn't believe I said it. It slipped out of my mouth. I couldn't believe I said something like that. I mean, I got so scared. I thought God was going to strike me. And you know what, though? God didn't strike me dead, so guess what? I did it again. And for a while, I had a habit of that. A terrible living. I got my heart hardened. See, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set to do evil. But my friend, God, there's payday someday. And we think sometimes we're getting by something, we're not. So we got to take sin seriously. Listen, yeah. Which one? That's 8:11. And I quoted it just right, didn't I? Okay, that's Ecclesiastes 8:11. Because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the Son of Man is fully set to do evil. All right, let's read a little bit. Okay, then look at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. I told you this before. Brothers and sisters, that's not talking about someone trying to sweep on the rug. That's a sin you're not even aware it's a sin. We've got a lot of sin. We're not even aware of their sins. That's why we need to be sensitive to God. See, it's like somebody said, I forgot who said that. It's probably a sermon I heard this week. I heard six sermons on the 4th of July, so obviously I can't remember everything that was said. But, you know, we think that we're doing okay. We're not really doing all that great. We think, well, I'm doing better than the guy next door. I'm doing better than my neighbor is. And we're comparing ourselves with people, so we think we're doing fine. But we may have some secrets and we're not even aware of them. And see, we categorize sin. We say, well, we don't smoke. We don't abuse our body. We don't drink. We don't curse. We don't do this. But have you ever thought about, but I have my jealousy. I have my hatred. That hurts people. That's sometimes be more destructive than some of these other sins are just as destructive. I have my dislike. I have my laziness. I have my backbiting. I have my talking about people behind their back. I have my whipping in my backbiting. So what you and I need to do is say, God, please bless me to be sensitive to my sins. So that's why we have to come to the Word of God all the time. Because see, when we come to the Word of God, you do this every day, don't you? If you read the Word of God, you say, uh-oh, I forgot. I messed up there. I failed here. It's that husband that he reads Ephesians 5 and said, well, I haven't been loving my wife like I should. That wife said, well, I really hadn't been as submissive as I should have been. That child read Ephesians 6 said, you know, really, I ought to be more obedient to my parents. I'm violating the fifth commandment when I don't. So he said, who can understand his error? Cleanse thy me from secret faults. Then he said in verse 13, we need this so badly because we all tend to, being sinners, do things we know are wrong. We all do that. He said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. The presumptuous sins, you're just a rebel. You know, it's amazing God hadn't already struck all of us dead. Because every one of us, in fact, I was talking to Kevin today, we went to see Reuben, he was talking about how that Gomer kept going back to her adulteries. And her husband kept taking her back. And then she'd do it again. He mentioned, what would happen if Laura did that? God said, well, I have the grace to take her back, and she did it again. He said, you know what? Here, we do that to God all the time. Brethren, we do. We commit every time we're disloyal to God, we commit spiritual adultery. Thank God for his wonderful, kind heart. that He will, when we repent, by His wonderful grace, take us back into fellowship with Him. But you can imagine what we're doing? Every time we are disloyal to Him, and every time we disobey His word, we're committing spiritual adultery. So let's beg God, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Now, you know, I've been really, I want to just warn everybody about this. Everybody knows this anyway. Brethren, don't be messing with any kind of drugs at all. We've had some people lately that we either suspect or know they've been on drugs. It's so devastating. It's so demonic. And you know, in the Bible, in the Galatians chapter 5, when he mentions the works of the flesh, one of the works is witchcraft. And the word witchcraft is the Greek word pharmakeia. And it comes from the word we get pharmacy from. So I believe that what drugs do, they just leave, and alcohol would be included in that because it's a drug also. It just leaves us open to demonic influence. And our mind gets so twisted. I've been amazed at some people that I've even known lately that they're just not thinking straight. It's absolutely self-destructive behavior. So I beg you, don't even touch anything like that. And if you guys want tobacco, get off of it if you can, because I'll tell you what, if it's just you got a chick in your armor. See, I used to smoke. I know how that stuff goes. And it's hard to quit. I'm ashamed of myself for admitting any of this kind of stuff to you, but thank God He blessed me to quit. I'll tell you what, it's hard to quit. I've made vows to God to quit, solemn vows, and didn't quit. Lord, He struck me dead. I meant it too. God, I'll never smoke another cigarette. And throw a pack out the car. I saw them pack out the window. I'm just telling you this. You need to know this. I threw a whole pack of cigarettes out the window and made a solemn vow to God I'll never smoke again. 2 hours later, go buy me another tag. I'll tell you, it can get a hold of you. Anything can get a hold of you. So what we got to pray is, Lord, keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And if anybody thinks sin can't have dominion over you, you're wrong. It can be a lustful attitude. It can be jealousy. Like I say, it can be lots of different things. We must beg God, don't let anything have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent of the great transgression. Then this wonderful verse we all love, because He's so careful, and that's how we ought to be so careful. Not only does He want to get just His main things cleaned up, He wants to be so minutely attuned to God. Even my very words, even my very thoughts are governed by the Holy Word. Let the word of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in my sight, O Lord, my thinker and my redeemer. My friend, let's be constantly in the Word of God. Let's remember who the author is. Let's remember the great book He wrote. And let's be constantly in the precious Word of God would be my prayer.